discuss about, okay, can they really do what they always claim they're going to do? And I tend to be a big one of questioning authority. And one of the biggest problems I think that we face here is that many of us are just have a, I think we've been inculcated to just knee-jerk accept that if authority tells us that we have the authority, well, then they must, because they certainly wouldn't claim that they have authority unless they have authority. Right? So it's funny when you start actually reading constitutions and then looking at the laws that are supposedly passed that have to be pursuant to that constitution, both the federal constitution, we've talked about that a lot, the U.S. Constitution, but we haven't talked nearly enough about the state constitution of Oregon, which in many ways is much more liberty supporting than the federal constitution. Would you agree on that, Mr. X?
When you take it apart, it's an exercise for the left to take apart and re-establish a link, trying to make things constitutional, and according to the state constitution. This is what they do. I sent you a couple of documents today that were part of that study and dive. But it's, when you look at the actualities of what goes on and the interpretations, and that's what it's about. It's about interpretations, and it's about trying to grab that authority like you're just speaking about. And I look at this, and it's just absolutely ridiculous on some of it, because the protections are built in. And it's like, when you go through the whole legislative mess that we were in, okay, people walked out, our representatives walked out. Now, in my mind, they did their duty. In the public, perception of what the state was saying, everywhere that I could pick up a news story on it, everybody on the left was, well, we need you to do your job.
Yeah, do your job.
Do your job.
All
do
right,
your
so,
job.
So let's talk about what they did doing their job. And we had that conversation with State Senator Herman Bertschiger. And I would also add that the arrest, of course, was issued by Kate Brown, not their arrest order, but that they should help, the Oregon State Police should be helping the senators come back in, all right? What got us talking about this, I just want to lead people down the pathway, got us started talking. Yesterday, I said, hey, Ed, I'm looking here at the Oregon State Constitution, which I can't exactly say that I've read every word and committed it to memory. The U.S. Constitution is considerably shorter, all right? Yeah, we know about that. And so here it is, I'm on Article 4, Section 9, which is about the legislative rules, the laws surrounding the legislature. And I'm looking at this section of it, and it says, legislators free from arrest and not subject to civil process in certain cases, words uttered in debate. Senators and representatives in all cases, except for treason, felony, or breaches of the peace, shall be privileged from arrest during the session of the Legislative Assembly. And in going to and returning from the same, and shall not be subject to any civil process during the session of the Legislative Assembly, nor during the 15 days next before the commencement thereof. Nor shall a member, for words uttered in debate in either house, be questioned in any other place. Now, a quick translation of this is that they're not subject to arrest. And you can see why this was placed in the Constitution, because in the past, when you were dealing with strictly the king's rule, what would happen is that Parliament might be meeting, and perhaps a member of Parliament or some other governing body was causing the sovereign some trouble. And so what do? Well, we shall arrest the miscreant who is causing me trouble.
Off with his head.
Off with his head. Yeah, that's the way it was done. There were reasons for these kind of laws and these parts of constitutions. So I was posing the question to you, all right, where is the statutory, the actual legal authority for Kate Brown to take a government, private, government slash governor's police force, let's say, and say go out and arrest a legislator who is not showing up to work?
Right.
So what did we find out?
Well,
because I couldn't find anything in statute saying that we do this.
Exactly. And I had forwarded you the entire link to the statutory backup for the ORSs. And then we looked at the OARs. We tried to find these pathways.
Administrative rules and everything else. Yeah.
And the reality is, what I found was more interesting to me than any aspect of it. And
okay.
Under the actual rules of the Senate You know, what I have to what I do is I go into the backup of what is the understanding that I have. And it's all about legislative intent. It's about the intent of the rule and making the rule constitutional. And what you just read was there is no reason to go after that senator for anything that he does during the course of that time, unless he goes out and shoots someone, robs a store, or whatever, he can be subject to arrest for those types of
things. Commits an actual
felony.
Yeah.
But to prove that aspect of it, there's a line here under the rules of the Senate, and it's under number six, it says here.
This is under the rules of the Senate, which is available on the Oregon State Legislature website.
Now, there's a previous line that I'm going to not speak to because of time, but the line that I want to say is the motives or integrity of any member of the House or Senate shall not be impugned.
All right. Now, this is in the Senate rules.
That's right.
All right. This is the rules that the legislature works under. Now, let's think about this logically. What they have done to Senator Boqvist is impugning.
That's right.
His intentions
That's
and
right.
reputation.
That's right. Now,
motives.
in further backup of that, all of the press that they released required, okay, they were required to come back and do their job. They're here to do their job. They have to do their job.
Well, Governor Tin Pot Dictator Kate Brown said pretty much the same.
Exactly.
You need to come back and do your job.
Well, if you're doing your job, that means what? That you're an employee.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if they're taking that stated position, what does that do? That would take you under the employer-employee relationship of the Oregon Revised Statutes.
Now, there happens to be quite a few rules and laws that are connected.
There is a whole bunch, Bill, but I concentrated on 171.120, unlawful employment practices. And it's number two, as part of the public policy to encourage public service, an employer may not discharge or threaten to discharge, intimidate, or coerce. Now, in conversation with your wife last night, what did we find out that part of the definition of compel was coerce?
Yeah, because under the rules of the Senate, there is authority to compel
right.
a legislator to attend.
That's right.
All right.
But now, here, they cannot coerce an employee. Now, I look at this, and I can go on and on and on and read to this stuff, but you have to understand, all of this is related to HB 2020. That's what we must not forget. And our legislators did their job as an elected representative of the people, not their job according to how the state
how Kate Brown
policy direction wants
yeah.
to define it.
All
okay.
Right.
Now, fortunately, they held to that principle and did what they did because they denied quorum, which is literally an ability to stop this process when the bulk of the people disagree with a policy direction.
Now, I would imagine you heard Senator Baritshiger, who talked about how the lawyers instructed them to say, am I under arrest?
Right.
And are you ending my protest? So in other words, they're making this clear that this was a protest
right.
that they
exactly.
were doing. That they
and
were
that,
doing.
That was the correct thing to do. And the only thing, the problem with what Boqvist did was basically gave them the ammunition for the publicity where people go on a line of further misunderstanding of this stuff. And when you go about and you really get down to it, I'm going to go back to HB 2020 now because, like I said, this is all related. Okay.
Okay. So, how is the Boqvist attack and sending troopers after senators and legislators? How is this all connected with HB 2020, other than the fact of the quorum denial?
The essence of the bill is to fundamentally change the entire system of Oregon. That's what it was. That was the stated purpose. That's how they pushed it forward. They were going to fundamentally change what? The economy? They were going to change every aspect of it.
And they were attempting then with 2020 to say we're going to shove the atmosphere into a public trust doctrine.
That's right. Now you have to look at it and say, well, why? You have to be like a little child being very curious. And what
why?
Does a little child do? They always say, why? Why?
We don't say why nearly enough, do we?
Why? And we don't say it enough. We have to go back to that inquisitiveness. Because when you get to it, this is the amendment to HB 2020 that they push forward, okay? But in item 8, it says here, whereas the world's leading climate scientists, including those in the Oregon Climate Change Research Institute, predict that the serious impacts of climate change will worsen if prompt action is not taken to curb emissions. And whereas in the absence of effective federal engagement, it is the responsibility of individual states deemed to be the laboratories of progress to take immediate leadership actions to address climate change, ocean acidification.
Boy, it just makes my heart swell with pride. Not really, I mean, to hear this.
It makes me ill, Bill, okay? And the reality is a lot of this language in here will lead us to wildfire smoke, okay, is part of their system, a part of what they're addressing in this. Now, what we have found out is that wildfire smoke and wildfire are a very different type of thing. The smoke that we had was part due to prescribed burning with a natural source of ignition. These were the problems that we face. There's a group of people for a predetermined outcome of pushing forth climate change instances and this type of legislation that take an argument and force the people to do that so they think climate change is upon us.
When we know that that's not the case, that much of the fire smoke was coming from a natural ignition, meaning a lightning strike, and then being allowed to burn for land management purposes during fire season.
Right. And when you look at all of this, when you really start taking everything apart, I just find it, okay, here's what I wanted to read you. Significant detrimental effects on public health and on Oregon's economic vitality, natural resources, and environment. And whereas the diverse impacts of climate change and ocean acidification include increasingly devastating wildfires, communities overwhelmed by deadly smoke, okay? And that's right out of the amendments. And that's in the beginning of the amendments.
But they're using a falsehood as a need for climate change legislation. They're using a lie.
Well,
to support this, or to buttress the support for 2020.
And now the group that they created legislatively, this Oregon group that advises the legislature, okay, again, this morning I went to it. What we have here is a group, and it's called the, and I'll read it right from it so you know that it's accurate. The Oregon State Legislature established the Oregon Climate Change Research Institute. It's shortened to OCCRI, within the Department of Higher Education in 2007. OCCRI is a network of over 150 researchers at Oregon State University, the University of Oregon, Portland State University, Southern Oregon University, and affiliated federal and state labs. But now you go down to the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration's Pacific Northwest Climate Impacts Research Consortium is one of 11 regional integrated science and assessments projects. And the reality comes down to is NOAA financially supports or did support, I guess some of the funding is drying up, and rightfully so, because OCCRI is advising our legislature, and we've addressed this before, that the ocean in the next 100 years will rise up to 8 feet.
Unfortunately, the actual data that NOAA is also reporting on their tides trend.
That's exactly right.
Is not happening.
It is not happening. In fact, it's remotely close to that.
And even when they do report that it is rising, they also include storm surge.
Well,
so
now,
there is once again a distortion being brought into the arguments.
Well, now you have to go back to the benchmark process within the Oregon system of government. In 1992, it's called Oregon Benchmarks, right? This was in 89, they say it was recovering from a prolonged recession and faced with staggering projections of population and economic growth for the upcoming years. So they had a strategy for the Pacific century. Well, part of that was establishing what they called the Oregon Benchmarks. Now, what they've done is they've taken that benchmark process and literally attached it to state policy guidelines. And the state policy guidelines follow The policy, official policy of Oregon, is the roadmap to 2020 and the vision plan through 2050 of the Oregon Environmental Commission.
And this is a sustainable development plugged into the United Nations.
That's exactly right. Yeah. So it's ignore the laws of the United States, move towards international law, and start imposing restrictions. And it is, you know.
And I would also add, though, using groups that have much incentive to distort what's happening.
That's right. And it's about a predetermined outcome, having the best available science to support that predetermined outcome.
And the only way to solve this this government-created problem, then, is to have the government take over and transform absolutely every aspect
right.
of Oregon's economy and you, economic function.
And you have to function as a good little citizen and think, oh, they're going to take care of me. They're doing it right.
And so the Republicans, then, denying quorum, was fighting this transformation.
That's right. The question is, do we live in the Oregon as a state of the United States, or do we live in the Republic of Oregon under communist, environmental communist control? Because that's what it is. That's the entire direction, is a control and a factor of sucking every dime they can out of you and forcing you to live in a subservient manner according to their administrative rules.
Hence, the Republicans, as Kate Brown was talking, saying, do your job. They were, in effect, doing their job of the constituents.
They were doing what a representative should have done.
And one could make the case that those who were pushing House Bill 2020 and pushing this down here are not doing the people's business at all. They're doing business on the people.
That's right. And that's the truth of it all. And it's all about establishing a benchmark to reducing the carbon level, which will ultimately, admittedly, by legislative council during the when they were describing it,
have no effect.
Will have no effect.
Yeah,
no net benefit, but it will punitively harm the citizens of Oregon.
So when you hear this talk about go back and do your jobs, remember this conversation, folks, okay? And I think that was a pretty good start here. We have more, though. We have more that we're going to be going down here on the rabbit hole on Conspiracy Theory Thursday, 828 at KMED and KCMD. I'll be back with Mr. X.
Like your phone, but not your service? With Spectrum Mobile, you can keep your current phone and upgrade your network. Simply pick the data plan that's right for you. Pay for the data you use, or choose unlimited for just $45 a month per line, all in. And talk and text are always free. Switching is easy. Go to spectrum.com/BYOD to learn more or to find a store near you. Spectrum Internet required. Restrictions apply.
It's truck time. Now through the end of July, get 0% financing for 84 months on a new 2019 Silverado 1500 double cab four-wheel drive at Airport Chevrolet. That's 0% for 84 months on the toughest, longest lasting truck on the road. You'll save over $10,000 in financing compared to an average loan. That's about $130 a month less for your payment.
How is that even possible?
Don't miss the Chevy Big Truck event going on now through July 31st. With the largest GM inventory in Southern Oregon, you know there's a truck waiting for you at Airport Chevrolet.
Airport,
the only name you need to know on Biddle Road, Medford.
See airportchevy.com for more details.
Monthly payment is $11.90 per $1,000 finance. Must finance with GM. Subject to prior sale. Does not include license, title, registration, $115 processing fee, plus $35 electronic filing fee. A 0.5% Oregon State privilege tax will be added on approved credit.
Chevrolet. Find new roads.
All money managers might seem the same, but while some give their clients cookie-cutter portfolios, Fisher Investments tailors portfolios to your goals and needs. Some only call when they have something to sell. Fisher calls regularly, so you stay informed. And while some advisors are happy to earn commissions whether you do well or not, Fisher Investments fees are structured so we do better when you do better. In other words, we're on your side. Maybe that's why most of our clients come from other money managers. So if you're in or nearing retirement, talk with us and find out why investors are switching to and staying with Fisher Investments. Fisher Investments, clearly better money management. Investments in securities involve the risk of loss. Visit us at FisherInvestments.com to find out what we can do for you.
Honestly, provocative talk radio on the Lars Larson Show.
Donald Trump made history by walking into North Korea. Again, first time for an American president, and I know that he has plenty of critics for this, but he's trying to negotiate with Kim Jong-un. And one of the ways to do that is figure out what the guy wants. Now, you know what he wants? I think I know what Kim Jong-un wants. He wants his country to survive with him intact as its leader.
Lars, weekdays noon to 3 on KMED and KCMD. You are now connecting to the Bill Maher Show. On 106.7 KMED and FM 99.3 KCMD.
Glad you're waking up here on Conspiracy Theory Thursday. We're delving into the facts of conspiracy. We'll continue with Mr. X here in a couple of minutes. And I think it's going to be great because it involves not just the carbon fraud being perpetrated upon us by people, only and frankly, the Republicans protected us this time. And they're probably going to have to do it again next year if they decide to go beyond just budgeting. But anyway, it'll be an interesting talk. We're going to be talking about water here in just a moment. And what got me thinking about the water issue was when I was affectionately referring to Rika,
right,
from Grants Pass yesterday, who called in. And I said, hey, you're lovely Rika.
Water maid,
you know, critic or whatever it was. And so she laughed. I think she's going to take that as a great name. But she wants more water. She wants to make it easier to use water rather than making water more expensive and more difficult to use. And she's talking about doesn't want us turned into a desert. Well, it just so happens that there is a treaty that the United States, unlike the Paris Accord, is actually signed on to. So we will break that down here in the next few minutes, all right? And a very interesting conversation indeed. A guy ends up text messaging me, sends a message this morning. Bill, Democrats love abortions more than life itself. I don't know if you just wrote that, but I'm seriously thinking of making a bumper sticker. That's awesome. Yeah, I just made it up on the fly. Sometimes it just happens. You make it up on the fly. But I think, you know, when you look literally, and that's when Herman Bertschinger was saying, well, what would happen if the roles were reversed and the Republicans were in the supermajority? And then we said, OK, we're going to ban all abortions. And naturally, the Democratic minority would have walked out and denied quorum. You know, they would have done so. You know, they would have done it. And Mike says, Bill, if we brought back the duel, like with Hamilton and Burr, we'd lose half the population. Well, hey, just think about it. If we lost half the population there, Mike, think about that climate reduction. If you take climate reduction and carbon reduction, rather, to its ultimate conclusion.
The Georgia Guidestones.
Yeah, you had to take it down to, what, a half million?
Yeah.
Or half billion.
Half a billion.
Yeah, half a billion worldwide. And I'm sure that the climate change church people are thinking they are the special ones that survived the carnage. Okay, it's 8:34. You know, something that has been going on and is getting talked about, you hear this talk about you know, Parkinson's and Alzheimer's and dementia and all sorts of situations. And I have a message for you if you or someone you know and respect and love is experiencing memory loss. It's our friends at FunctionalMemory.com that are reminding you that if you sometimes can't remember where your keys are, or you enter the room, you forgot why you were there, or you lose your track of thought, a little bit of that's okay. I think it's just normal. But when it's happening a lot, you can't remember why you were talking and conversing with someone, what you were thinking about, you could be suffering from some mild cognitive impairment. But fortunately, there are some choices, and not all of them good. You could ignore it and hope it goes away. Probably not going to happen. You could try some of the big pharma pills. Questionable on if they're really all that effective. Or what you can do is invest $75 for this initial consultation and sit down for a screening to get a better idea of what could be causing the problems that either you or someone you know and love is experiencing. Instead of treating symptoms, head to FunctionalMemory.com. They are dedicated to identifying the root cause of the memory loss, all right? So you fork over $75, and you can find out more about their system of reversing memory loss and see how that would work for you. And there's only a few slots available, all right? It's very popular. And so most of this is probably going to be out of pocket. Maybe your insurance would cover it, but I would figure that most of this is out of pocket. But because you don't have a whole bunch of paperwork, it ends up being a lot less expensive. It's like when you're paying cash at the conventional doctor. You'll usually end up paying much less than what the insurance company might have to negotiate. That's the way this works. It was locally started by someone who used this system on a family member, and it worked for them. So you want to be part of it? You want to get a piece of this? Go to functionalmemory.com and see what this local clinic can do for you. Functionalmemory.com, functionalmemory.com. Email me if you have any other questions, okay? News this hour is sponsored by Valley View Nursery, your only nursery with online pricing. Visit valleyviewnursery.com. They're closer than you think.
Here's a look at your headlines from KMED and KCMD News. I'm Shane Michaels. First up, a reported shooting is under investigation in Rogue River today. Police say that a man was shot in the leg late Tuesday night after witnesses say they heard two men loudly fighting near the Best Western on Rogue River Highway. They go on to say that one of the men fled in a red car and another man with dreadlocks was detained by police. Around the state, the legislature's House and Senate Conduct Committees are scheduled to meet on July 23rd to discuss a formal complaint regarding Senator Brian Boquist's comments before a walkout by Senate Republicans. On Monday, the Senate Special Committee on Conduct heard from Portland employment law attorney Brenda Bumgart.
The investigation is ongoing. At some point, I expect we will be back together and talking about a formal finding or recommendation.
If the committees decide to act on the complaint, they could choose to reprimand, censure, or expel Senator Boquist, or take no action. Now, the Illinois Valley Fire District responded to a structure fire on the 600 block of Garner Road in Cave Junction late last night. Fire crews found a barn fully engulfed in flames. The barn contained a number of old Volkswagen vehicles. ODF, along with Rural Metro Fire and AMR, were on hand to assist. The cause of the fire is under investigation. And that's a look at your headlines. For these stories and more, go to our website, KMED.com. Don't forget to find and like us on Facebook, and you can follow along on Twitter. From the KMED and KCMD Newsroom, I'm Shane Michaels.
This hour of the Bill Myers Show is sponsored by Glacier Heating and Air, making sense of the heating and air business.
One of the earliest and most professional dispensaries in the Rogue Valley is Talent Health Club, serving medical and recreational persons. The pro staff will direct you to the best products and healthful remedies for your ailments, aches, and pains in a comfortable and inviting atmosphere. Daily specials include senior discounts, flower, concentrates, cartridges, topicals, edibles, and many products containing CBD. Located on 99, just 1 mile south of the Talent exit, Talent Health Club, higher standards. Do not operate a vehicle or machinery under the influence. Must be 21. Keep out of the reach of children.
Just because you run a business doesn't mean you have to be an expert at everything. It's okay to say,
I don't know.
Take advertising.
I don't know.
How can you run your business and stay in front of your customers when they're on their cell phones?
I don't know.
Computers.
I don't know.
When they're at home or on the road.
I don't know.
Want to know something? We have a workshop that lasts less than an hour that can help you put it all together.
Really? I didn't know.
We also have a team of professionals to help walk you through the whole process. Our job is to know and let you in on something that maybe you didn't know before.
Hey, that's good to know.
Want
to
learn more? Of course you do.
Find out more about the free marketing workshop that can help you generate new customers and customer leads. Workshops will take place on July 23rd through the 25th at the Rogue Regency in Medford and at the Lodge in Grants Pass. Seating is limited. Just for attending, you'll have a chance at winning prizes from local merchants. Save your seat now at 541-772-4170. That's 541-772-4170. And ask for Advantage.
The best painters use a particular paint, and that's Benjamin Moore from Drake's Paint and Supply. Drake's is changing the way you order paint. No need to spend as much time in the store. You can buy the best paint from anywhere with the Drake's app. Drake's will even keep track of all of your colors. That way, if you ever need more of a specific color, they can get it right from the app. Save yourself time and money with Drake's Paint and Supply and Benjamin Moore at 2929 North Pacific Highway or drakespaint.com. Download the app today for extra savings.
News Talk FM, 106.7 KMED and 99.3 KCMD. Call the Bill Myers Show at 541-770-5633. That's 770-KMED. Email bill at billmyersshow.com.
By the way, quick note that if you wanted to see what Pacific Power is up to, they've been having these public meetings. They had a public meeting in Grants Pass a couple of days ago over at the Tap Rock Center. And this having to do with shutting the juice off during wildfires, you know, that they would use for on a limited basis here. And that meeting was completed. They did one yesterday in Roseburg. And today, the Medford Open House is today from 5:30 till 7:30 at the Ramada Hotel and Conference Center over on Biddle Road in Medford, right there by exit 30. So that is one that is going on. If you wanted to find out more, a lot of people were asking me about that. Okay. All right. And is there anything else we wanted to touch? Oh, we wanted to wrap up a little bit of that take on House Bill 2020, the arresting of legislators, and there were all sorts of things we were talking about, right,
well,
Mr. X?
These are the proofs of what we have to deal with, and they all relate to everything else. But part of the HB 2020 thing is what we've stated. They want to control the atmosphere. That's what they're trying, and they're trying to use the public trust doctrine to go to the atmosphere.
And there is no tradition of public trust doctrine, right, including the
That's
atmosphere.
That's exactly right. And so now you look at what is, you know, what can possibly be the direction or intent. But the truth of it is, now this is the public trust doctrine, a primer, okay? And that was created by the this, and I'll read it here. This paper was prepared as a result of work by students and faculty of the University of Oregon School of Law's Environmental and Natural Resources Law Center.
I absolutely love the idea of Law Center, law students actually crafting state policy.
That's great. Mm-hmm. And that's by the state agency status. This is what's part of this consensus with the best available science.
So you have useful idiots crafting this.
This supports the predetermined outcome.
Got it.
Now you have, it does not necessarily represent the views of the University of Oregon, the University of Oregon School of Law, or the ENR Center. The university, or no, the legal liability for the information in this paper. I moved my eyes there for a second. The University School of Law and ENR Center make no warranty, express or implied, and assume no legal liability for the information in this paper. Nor does any party represent that the uses of this information will not infringe upon privately owned rights.
Now, that is an amazing statement there right now, because that is being used to shape public policy.
Well, did they come out and say that the use of HB 2020 or the implementation of this bill would require a change to the public trust doctrine so they can have input over the atmosphere and thus impact it legally? And now they're telling you that it's going to infringe upon your privately held rights.
Well, see, when you get into infringing on your privately held rights, that means then that we are under constitutional protections.
It means our senators did their duty.
Absolutely.
That's the reality to it, Bill.
And all right. That's just the bottom line on that. All right. We only have a few minutes left here, Mr. X.
What this all started for, we were supposed to go to this in a great detail, but it's just a minor thing now. It's, again, related, because part of the thing is to control water and land use.
Okay? And energy.
But magically, one of the protections that ended up coming out of it that they didn't project was we signed a treaty, and they slid this through back in, I think, 2000.
Okay, before we move forward with this, Mr. X, I want to make sure that people understand that, remember, the climate change Paris Accord has been withdrawn. All right, so we're no longer involved in this, and it's done.
That's
all right? We are not involved with this, in spite of what Kate Brown and the Jeff Goldens of the world are thinking that we should be doing on a statewide basis. All right. That being said, there is a treaty that we are signed on, signatories to, and we are legally bound to follow these.
Well, they're breaking their sacred attachments to the United Nations laws and implementations that they want to follow of the sustainable development thing.
So which treaty are we supposed to be bringing up and paying attention to?
It's called a desertification treaty.
Okay.
And it's like, the essence of it is simply summed up that we shall not take any step to increase the arid parts of the land. Okay.
Now, let's break this down. The United States is legally bound to not increase desertification.
That's the tragedy.
The creation of more desert, the fact that any land would be more desert-like and more arid than before. So let's connect this with what our gangrene people, who are always telling us that we have to pay attention to the United Nations, they are strangely silent on this treaty, which is force of law in the United States of America, because everything that they are doing right now to remove all of the dams here in Southern Oregon is about accomplishing just that very
thing.
That's
right. And that is the key.
The Klamath. We look at Savage Rapids. We look at all of this. It's all part of that.
When you go through all of this, So, you know, all I'm saying is that it points to a direction of motive. And that's the reality. The motive is to control you. The motive is established right here in this, in the treaty documents. I think it says it takes it to 70% of the land here. Okay.
This is the non-desertification treaty that the United States has signed on to.
And it says the desertification treaty claims jurisdiction over 70% of the Earth's land area, virtually all of the land that is not covered by the Convention on Biological Diversity. Moreover, this new treaty creates a structure through which all other environmental treaties are supposed to be integrated under a common United Nations implementation regime. Then they go to comparing it in with the UN Commission on Water for the 21st Century.
Okay.
So now when you look at this, it's all established back to that type of imposition. Why are we doing this? Why are our elected officials taking this program, steering away from the sovereign capacity of the United States? And this is the move to pull out of the Paris Accord. Is good, is great, is the need and what we have to do. If we have problems, we can accomplish a solution to those problems far better than somebody dictating we have to do it that sits in an office somewhere else in the world.
I cannot abide
by that.
But let me just focus on the anti-desertification treaty.
Okay.
This means that we're not supposed to be doing anything which could reduce water supply here.
That's right.
To Southern Oregon.
That's right.
Because we would be, in effect, creating more desert. Now, let me just, I'm just spitballing with you here, Mr. X. This plan about even piping the canals, the WISE project, all of that talk, does that not, in essence, create more desert in what used to be called the Agate Desert here in Southern Oregon when you're no longer recharging wells and we're no longer having leakage?
I would think so, Bill. I don't know. You know, if I look at that at a quick summary of it all,
it does.
It affects the water tables. It affects everything.
Now, we know that Green wishes to remove the dam on the river, Lost Creek.
Right.
That's the ultimate goal.
That's the ultimate wet dream of them. You know.
Would that not violate the UN treaty have signed on to that
it
says
would.
We will not do anything to increase desertification?
Right.
To increase the arid quality of our lands.
You know, simply put, we have to get back to a common sense reality and understand that we have to live in this area. And this area is, in the summertime, has been historically dry.
Dry.
And it will go long terms without water. And when we look at this stored water, that stored water in the Klamath Dams, saved the monument. It saved Ashland.
I will concede that point. We've talked about this a lot. So let me ask, as there is all this discussion about the Klamath Compact, wouldn't, in effect, the removal of the Klamath Dams violate the United Nations anti-desertification treaty, which we are signed on to and bound by?
That's right.
Because it would turn more arid, there would be less water in the ground.
And there's a variety of other things why they can't be removed. But this is just one more simple, positive, reality-based conclusion that you can come to, that they are overstepping their bounds.
And I just wanted to make sure that people understand this. This is not just me, you know, right-wing nutbar Bill Meyer, you know, just talking out of his behind. There are legal principles involved here. This is why we're going to visit the law, pay attention to the law, and remember, first and foremost, when you hear from the state of Oregon, policy is not law.
That's right.
And we're here to take it back to the law at all times.
Right. And we have to pay attention to that aspect, because implementation of wrongful policy is what brought us all of the smoke seasons that we had that were so terrible the past couple of years. So we have to look at who's intruding, and we have to fight back with every bit of energy that we can, or we will end up to be nothing.
Mr. X, great talk. As always, thank you for taking some time on Conspiracy Theory Thursday.
Appreciate it.
There you have it, the fact of conspiracies hanging out in or hiding out there in plain sight. And take it back to the law. It also means that you have to be active and involved, and it's not just voting and sitting back and thinking that you've done your job. It's a lot more to it. You got to fight back those intrusions. It's 10 before 9, 770-5633. You have any thoughts of the day? We got about 5 minutes of open time before the show ends up wrapping up for Conspiracy Theory Thursday. What's the best conspiracy you've heard so far or weigh in on the news? Break it down next. This is the Bill Myers Show.
In the past 10 years, nearly 100 workers in Oregon have died in motor vehicle accidents. That's why SAFE encourages employers to create or update a safe driving policy that includes cell phone use. Oregon law is clear. Drivers are not allowed to hold a cell phone while operating a vehicle. But what if it's work calling? Make sure your workers know their life is more important than taking that call. You can find more about distracted driving at SAIF.com.